Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat Podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
Okay, well, here's the question that we have today. It says, I hesitate to ask this question because I don't want to sound cynical. I'm not cynical at all about my faith in Christ. I want to make that clear. Here is my question. Should we believe that God is doing real miracles in the world today? Should we pray for them? I have lived a long life and have never seen or heard of one that there is strong evidence for. It makes me suspect that those kinds of events only happen with Jesus and his disciples. What do you think?
Wow. Good question. This is a tough one to answer because there's so much evidence. Where are the miracles? Like what we see in the Bible.
Yeah. However,
I want to come back and touch real briefly on. I don't want to appear cynical. That comment in the question. What is being cynical? And there's a great comparison in Luke chapter 7 of John the Baptist and the religious leaders. John the Baptist is in prison, and he's expecting some miraculous thing to happen with Jesus as the Messiah and, at least get me out of prison and bring the kingdom. And he's expecting big things, and Jesus doesn't do anything, at least not on the scale of what he's expecting. And so he sends his disciples to Jesus, John does, and he says, are you the one, or should we look for somebody else? And, right then, Jesus heals a bunch of people, including the blind, and he quotes Old Testament scriptures about healings and as really evidence of, yes, I am the one, so hold on by faith. Right on the heels of that, then Jesus speaks a word about John, and we have this really interesting phrase or sentence here. This is Luke 7:29. When all the people heard this and the tax collectors, they too declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purposes of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And so then Jesus says, what do I compare this people, this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another, we played the flute and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't weep. And he says, John came eating no bread and drinking no wine. You say he's a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking. You say he's a glutton. What is this cynicism of our age? I think it's prove it, Jesus, but it's do these things that are on my list. Prove it according to the miracles that I would structure. That these things have to happen for you to prove yourself to me. And Jesus doesn't operate according to the agenda of these Pharisees and teachers of the law. And they don't have an open heart to the purposes of God for them. And that's just what a haunting sentence. They rejected the purpose of God for themselves. God comes to us. God is working. And we can be so strident and I would say cynical that God can't measure up, or the ways that God works cannot possibly measure up to what we want him to do. And it's really just a self-centered agenda. These Pharisees and teachers of the law, they wanted to maintain control. And it was all about control. And Jesus was bucking the system of their world and, siphoning off the crowds. They're now following Jesus instead of them. And so they wrote Jesus off. And no matter what he did, they couldn't see it. And I think that's the danger of a cynical heart, that God is at work. We just can't see it because we have our own agenda for what God has to do, and it's just at the heart of it, self-centered. So beware of the cynic. There's no pleasing a cynic. They've really written God off. So that's not how I'm reading this question, but I think, I don't want to appear cynical. What I would say is, appear as a questioner. John the Baptist did. A lot of people had questions for Jesus, and come with an open heart. Lord, teach me this, show me this, help me understand. I think that's perfectly acceptable. That's how we posture our heart, so to speak, to come before the Lord. So I'm assuming that that's where this person is, and I think that's a good place. Lord, what's the deal? We see all these miracles in the New Testament, Old Testament, but where are they in our day? Mm-hmm. Does God still work miracles? Yes, He does. And I think they're on two levels. First of all, the acts of providence that God is daily in our lives, structuring things in a miraculous way to set us free from or to bring something about. Just this last week, I had one of those weeks where and I said to my wife, I said to Portia, I guess it was last Saturday, a week ago, I said, "Sweetheart, I don't know how I'm going to get done everything I have to do this next week. I'm absolutely overwhelmed." And then Jim Knight died, a man who used to be in our church, and I'm swamped. I'm on the bottom of the ocean, because Elizabeth said, "Richard, please, 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 could you come and do Jim's service?" Where Huntersville? Oh, gosh, I gotta travel, and I didn't know how I was gonna do any of this, but the way God worked it out was, I went to Huntersville, and then I had a conference back in Huntersville on Thursday, and it just so happened that the funeral home was right next door to the hotel that I stayed in. Wow. I mean, it was right there. It was just the most amazing thing. And I went up on Wednesday and I stayed the evening, and that's when I was able to write Wednesday afternoon. I had a space of about 6 hours, and I was able to think and write, study and write on my sermon. I would not have had that time had Jim not died. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a funeral added, but the Lord expanded my time, as it were. And I saw that as a providence, the act of providence, of God's hand rearranging my week. And I call that a miracle. God helped me when I needed help. And I think there's a lot of things like that that go on where God's orchestrating things. We see how the Lord provides. And I prayed, "God, you've got to help me. I don't know how I'm going to do this." And He did. He provided. And it was a direct response to my plea for help. And so those interventions in response of God, in response to our prayers. And so I think, again, we see a lot of miracles like that. And, Lord, just give us eyes to see those things. Another one, yesterday, Mark Brank, we had his memorial service. And Mark was a homeless man, and one of the folks at the funeral was telling me, Mark was living in my backyard, January or so ago, and it was so cold and I didn't have room for him in the house, and this guy couldn't handle it. So he went to Florida to get away from, he thought Mark's going to die in my backyard. And while the guy was away, Mark's roommate, this guy's roommate says to Mark out in the yard, "We can't handle this. You got to leave. You got to leave." I mean, he could not handle it. And so Mark, being, the good guy that he was, packed up his tent and went to the homeless shelter. And that's where Beth Barker met him and invited him to church.
Wow.
And that's how he got to our place. What was that about? That was the hand of God directing somebody out of their frustration and concern. "I can't handle this."
Yeah.
And then placing Beth down there. So again, I think God is so active in our day and in our lives. And is that miraculous? Well, I think it is in ways, because that would not have happened just happenstance, unless people, you know, God is moving people to frustration and you know, why was Beth down there, you know, at that time and putting that on her heart. So God works in acts of his providence and grace. But, you know, in the classic, definition of a miracle where an intervention of God goes beyond natural law, somebody has cancer, it's there one day and then gone the next, and there's just no way to explain it. You know, right. here's the evidence from the doctor's office, and they're scratching their heads. They can't explain it. And they say, we don't know what happened. This looks like a miracle. And that's the only way to describe it. Those things do still happen. And yes, we should ask God for those. There's works of physical healing. There's works of inner healing, of just emotional trauma within our hearts and bodies. And we should ask God for this. We should ask God for intervention to rescue people. Every conversion is a miracle story because somebody who's dead spiritually comes to life. I recently saw the movie about Louis Zamperini. It's the part two, the story of redemption. Of course, he was in one of those planes in World War II that went down. He drifted on the Pacific for like, I don't know what it was. I can't remember how many days it was. Now 40 some odd days. I mean, 70 days. I can't remember what it was, but a long time. Captured by the Japanese, put in a Sugamo prison camp in Japan, and was absolutely tormented, tortured. And the head of that prison camp they called him the Bird, just was merciless because they knew who he was, and he tried to break him. And that's really the story of the first movie. But the second movie is he comes back, Zamperini comes back, and he begins drinking alcohol. He gets married, but his life just goes off the rails, and he starts drinking heavily. And almost every night he has nightmares of the Bird and beating him and being shot at by weapons. And he's just tormented, and his life is just, you know, going down the drain. And his wife, you know, finally gets him to go to a Billy Graham crusade. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, course of a few nights, he receives Christ. And after the movie is over, you know, they're running the credits, they have an actual interview with Louis Zamperini. And he says, when I accepted Christ, two things happened. Well, three things. I was able to forgive the Bird and all those tormentors in the prison camp. I was able to forgive them genuinely. And the drinking stopped and the nightmares stopped. I never had another nightmare after that. Well, right. that's the gracious intervention of God. He's in major PTSD, and God intervened and stopped that. So do miracles happen? Yeah, they do. I think in our Western world, we are so framed by a scientific worldview, and it's hard for us to, you know, we want to quantify everything. We want to put it in a test tube and examine it. And I think there's a cynicism in our culture, in our Western world, that miracles don't happen. And, you know, there's not the existence of you know, demons and angels, and we just live in this naturalistic world, mm-hmm. and with that naturalistic scientific outlook, I don't know that we're as open to really seeing the hand of God. But you go to places where they are open to a spiritual worldview, and there are miracles taking place, and far more than what perhaps we see here. So, you know, that's one of the perhaps the casualties of living in a Western world. We don't believe in God and spirits and miracles. And Jesus, when he went to Nazareth, you know, they didn't believe in him. And so there was no faith. And so he didn't do any miracles. And he left, and he went, but he responded to people who cried out to him. And so, you know, that place of faith is really important. Mm-hmm. I would say, I think there's the health and wealth gospel, you know, have you had your miracle today? And I just think that's dangerous theology, because it's setting the heart to try to get something from God's hand. When I think the trajectory of Christianity and of our faith is to get God himself, mm-hmm. to know the Lord, to love the Lord, and to know his love in our lives. Now, we should ask, absolutely, we can ask. But, you know, this theology of, you know, have you had your miracle today? You know, have you prayed and gotten it? I just think that's such a materialistic approach to the faith. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. We are called to live by faith, not by sight. And so by faith, we trust God can do miraculous things, and we ask him and we wait on him for that. And Lord, give us eyes to see where you are working and how you are working. But if you don't give the miracle at the end of the day, you know, the healing of this illness, I will still trust you. The cynic will not. The cynic will walk away and thus reject the purposes of God for his or her life. So, you know, coming back to keeping a humble heart before God, but I would say, Lord, show me your works. Show me your miraculous works in the world that you're doing in my daily life. And Lord, here are things that I would ask you to do in the lives of loved ones. Again, you put all freedom in God's hands. Because he's sovereign and we're not, but we can absolutely ask, and I think we should, but we walk by faith, not by sight, trusting God is good, he is at work, and he will accomplish his purposes, both for our good and his glory, and that's our starting place, and it's a place of humility instead of cynicism. But again, just to reiterate, I think this person who's asking this question, they are asking from that humble place, and that's a good place to be. I encourage them, and just, I would say, ask the Lord to give you eyes to see what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Trust him that he will show you his works.
Yeah, I can't help but think, too, that Louis Zamperini, for him, is the most powerful miracle imaginable in his life would not be, I don't know, seeing someone's leg grow back that was missing a leg. It would be what he experienced, because he knew. Right. He knew how damaged he was and how impossible it was for him to stop drinking and to be healed and to forgive. He knew that that was a miracle.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And his wife sure did.
Yeah.
And community around him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Well, will you pray for us?
I will. Father, thank you that you are a God who is active on the field of play of our life and this day. And thank you that you are working through your acts of sovereign providence. Lord, you are bringing people to faith in Christ. And Lord, you are also intervening with acts of healing. There's inner healing and there is physical healing. Lord, there is casting out of demons. And Lord, all manner of things you're doing to show your presence, but Lord, also just to manifest your grace and your mercy and your kindness, because that is who you are. Lord, give us eyes to see and hearts that are receptive and that give thanks for the great God that you are and all the works of your goodness and mercy. Lord, give us eyes to see and hearts to praise you as we should. And Lord, teach us what to ask for. And Lord, not merely to ask for a handout, but Lord, to ask for you. Your presence in our lives. And so, Lord, again, train our hearts. Give us that hunger for Jesus Christ in our day, in our lives, in our work, in our homes, in our circumstances. And Lord, be praised in all these things. In your name, O Christ, we pray. Amen.